Matthew chapter 6, this is nothing new tonight, but I want to remind us of one of the most fundamental and important promises for the Christian. And it's Matthew 6, 33. And I know we're all familiar with it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, this is the truth that probably every one of us is familiar with in our head. Lord, we know it in our mind. We've memorized it. But Lord, may it ring true in our heart tonight. And may we be once again challenged and comforted by it, Lord, strengthened by it. And may it help us in our life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, one of the shows I'm sure everybody's watched, and it's interesting to watch is Antique Roadshows. And that's a fun show to watch, isn't it? Okay. It is. And what's interesting is you're always looking for how much that item is going to be worth. You know, and sometimes they're a dud. But they always, you know, they always give you that surprise, and sometimes the value is just enormous. But you know, one of the things on that show that make it interesting and actually make the value even more important is a story that's connected with it. The background of it. It's not just the item, but it's how did you get the item, and who's the item associated with, and what's the background of all of it. And that makes it so much important. And you know, when you read Matthew chapter 6, 33, most of the time we just quote that verse, and we don't stop to go back and meditate on what Jesus Christ was saying leading up to that verse. And what Jesus Christ says leading up to that verse is so important. It's so important to coming to trust and believe and rest in that promise that's given in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And you know, this promise right here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a fundamental promise that every Christian needs to be established in their life. For if you can't trust God for the basic necessities of life, how are you going to trust him when you face a real challenge? How are you going to trust him when it's something enormous that you face in your life? And you know, Jesus has been going through his lessons on how to live the life. And we come down in Matthew chapter 6, and we're gonna look at it from verse 25 down through. But you know, in the middle of it, he says to them, "O ye of little faith." And it's a matter of faith, and he's teaching them about faith. He's not really teaching about believing the word of God, but trusting the word of God. It's one thing to say you believe the word of God, but it's another thing to live a life where you really trust the word of God. And you know, this area of faith, just trusting God for the everyday basics, I believe it's one of the most, it's one of the ways that Satan really distracts and disrupts and destroys Christians. You know, one of the starkest warnings that we're given is found over in 2 Timothy, where it speaks of Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And somehow, Satan got Demas to get his eyes off of the things of God, the eternal things of God, and be more focused and concerned with the earthly things, to the point where it caused him to forsake his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, I want to go through just from verse 25 down through. And I want to just lead up to verse 33. I want to bring us up to verse 33. But you know, it's about what Jesus Christ says before he comes to verse number 33. Because he comes down to verse 33 and says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, when you look at verse 25 down through, the first, you just start in verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? And right there, the Lord Jesus Christ is getting their attention. He says, take no thought. Now that phrase, take no thought, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to think about these things. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to be concerned about these. These are the basic things of life. Yes, we're supposed to be concerned about having a roof over our head and clothes. And yes, those. I mean, you look at Proverbs 31. He speaks about the virtuous woman that has a concern for these things. You read over in the epistles that Paul writes to Timothy, if a man does not labor, neither shall he eat. Yes, these are necessities of life. These are things. But what he's saying is, these things should not get to the point where they consume us with fear and anxiety and worry, to the point where it takes us away from trusting God and living by faith a life that pleases God. So he says, take no thought. Take no thought. Don't be consumed by this, because it'll distract you. Think about it. You know, how many times has a Christian, their walk with God, been disrupted, and they've been taken away, not by lust and not by evil things, if you will. But how many times has simply the cares of this world, the basic cares, taken people away from the Lord? Over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, Jesus is speaking about the Word of God, and he speaks about the seed and the sower, and he says this, the cares of this life choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And you know how it is. Finances get a little tight. Job is uncertain. Medical bills, all these things, and all of a sudden, the pressure builds, and the anxiety builds. And all of a sudden, I've got to do this. I've got to work more hours. I've got to get another job. I've got to do this. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, folks. But I'm saying the potential is that anxiety can take you away from the most important thing, which is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And boy, when that happens, it not only affects you, but it affects so many other people. It affects your family. Affects your church, affects your ministry, affects your outreach, potentially affects the souls of others. And so this evening, let's look at verse 25. The first thing is verse 25 down through verse number 30. And you know, I was thinking this evening, right before I got here, I was just thinking about Pastor Donnie's message this morning. And his question was, does the heart really matter to God? And you know, when you look at this promise, the same thing could be asked. Does the heart of God really matter to this promise? And that's where the foundation of this promise is in the heart of God. It's not just in the words. It's not just in the words, but it's in the character and nature of God that backs up those words. And in this passage of Scripture, we see the heart of God. We see the heart of God. The first thing we see in verse 25 down through verse 30 is Jesus Christ speaks about something that's so important. And it's so important to you and me to understand as we think of this promise. And it's that. It's of a valued relationship. A valued relationship. Because when you read verse 25, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know where Jesus Christ is bringing their attention to? He's saying, listen. So we're going to talk about the basic necessities of life. He said, but the first thing you need to understand is how much God values his relationship with you. You know, we always talk about how important it is from our perspective and our relationship with God. But you ever stop to consider? I know you have, but let me remind you. From Genesis chapter 1 and 2 all the way to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, last chapter in the Bible, God speaks about and God brings forth the importance of his desire to have a personal relationship with you and me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he breathed in a man into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul, separated, different, apart from everything else that God created. Why? Because God desired to have a relationship with you and me. And on through the Bible, that is brought forth. He had Moses build a tabernacle. Why? He said, because I want to come down and tabernacle with my people. I want to come down and be amongst my people. I want to have a relationship with you. You go on through the Bible, and in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking, and he says to his disciples, he says, listen, if you love me and you keep my commandments, my Father and I, he says, we will come down. We will make our abode with you. In 1 John chapter 1, John writes and he says this. He says, this is the communion that we have with you. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then you go over to Revelation chapter 21, and it speaks of heaven and the future. The first thing it says is this. When it speaks of the new heaven, it says that God can tabernacle with men and be their God and he their people. This whole Bible, folks, this whole Bible is about God wanting to have a relationship with you. And what a relationship. Because Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, listen, your heavenly Father, look what it says in verse 26. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? He says, your heavenly Father. And so many times, we just lose sight of how precious that relationship is to God. Jesus Christ taught the disciples early in this chapter. He says, when you pray, I tell you what, it's one of the things I never forgot from my Father. My Father taught us. He says, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. You know why? Because that reminds us that God is not just a God that is far off. That God is not just a being in the sky. that God is not just seated in heaven without any concern for you, but He is my heavenly Father. In Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit tells us that we can cry unto Him and we can say, Abba, Father. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. I've never gotten over that. Probably every 99% of the time when I pray, My Father. Mi Padre en los cielos, see? My Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus first starts speaking and telling him as he's bringing out this promise. Look at verse 30. Shall he not much more clothe ye, a little faith? He says, listen, you are more valuable than the sparrows and the birds. He says, he takes care of them. My wife, she loves to put out a bird feeder. And we have a bird feeder outside the kitchen window. But there's a problem with it. You know what the problem is? She doesn't always fill it. And sometimes I look out the window and I see these birds coming around and they're so sad. I mean, you know, if they could talk. And they're looking around and they say, where's that sweet lady that puts the food in the thing? And yet, you know what? God takes care of them. He takes care of them. And you know what? He says, listen, you are much more valuable than anything else I've created. You look around at creation and you stop at the wonder of it all. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And God says from Genesis all the way through Revelation, I'm reminding you over and over and over and over again of how much value this relationship is that I have with you, that I desire to have with you. That's why we preach the gospel, folks. Because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because God desires to have a relationship with every man, every woman, every child. And so the first thing Jesus Christ says is, listen, understand this. As we come to this promise, this foundational promise of faith, understand the reason why that verse is there, the reason why that promise is there is because of your value to the eternal God, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. That's why 1 Peter 5:7 is in there. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, one of the first illustrations Pastor Donnie used this morning was comical when we think about it. You know, pulling up at a, I don't know where you said you were pulling up to. I don't know what was it? Oh, Jiffy Lube. Yeah, that's why. I never go to Jiffy Lube. But pulling up to Jiffy Lube, and you imagine that? Now, I'm probably going to try it the next time. Asking the guy at Jiffy Lube if he really cares about your life. You know? I mean, that's a silly question to ask, isn't it, right? You know? But you know what? You don't have to ask that question about God, because Jesus Christ says He does. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But there's something else here. There's something else. There's a second thing here. Because in that care and out of that care and out of that concern comes a statement. It's a vivid reality. It's sometimes we don't think it, we don't believe it. But it's a vivid reality. Because in verse 31, Jesus says this. Therefore, based upon that relationship, based upon that value that your life and your relationship is with God, that He is your heavenly Father, He says this. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what we should drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And then He makes a statement. And folks, this is a vital, a vivid reality. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need. Turn back to Isaiah 40 for a minute. Isaiah chapter 40. This is something that God had to speak and remind Israel about. And it's something that we need to be reminded about. Listen, God knows your life. And not only does God know the eternal things of your life, he knows the external things too. He knows the situations in your life. He knows your work. He knows your boss. He knows the company's finances better than you do and better than they do. He knows the stock market. God knows everything. And he says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse number 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. God says, okay, let's start with this. Who are you going to liken me to? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Listen. He knows every detail about everything in creation. Everything. We don't. The more we explore, the more we figure out that we don't know much, right? Yeah. And then he says this. Consider this. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? He says, when you consider the omniscience of God, when you consider how much that God knows, why do you seem to think that your one life is the exception to the omniscience of God? How does that work? If we really believe God is omniscient, then we must believe that he knows all the details of my life. Why do you think your way is hid? Why do you think that God doesn't know your needs? Or God doesn't know your tomorrow? He knows. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Folks, he knows. And Jesus Christ, speaking there in Matthew chapter 6, he says, listen, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. I want to follow up on Pastor Donnie's illustration about, not about Jiffy Lube, but try this sometime. Here's another one for you, Pastor Donnie. Try this, all right? Next time you're in Walmart, when you walk into Walmart and you see do they have salespeople anymore at these places? Okay, or Home Depot. Check this out. Go to Home Depot. Guys, try this. Go up to Home Depot and see how this works. When a salesperson walks up to you and they say, can I help you? Just say yes and stand there. And they're going to look at you. Can I help you? Yeah. And then they could say, what do you need? And you just say, oh, you know. Just try it. See what there's, you're going to look at you like you're crazy, right? Well, you know. You know what I need, don't you? Right? That's an absurd question to ask, right? Or statement to say, right? What do you need? Well, you know. Well, you know what? When you go to God, He does know. He knows before you know. Listen to me, moms. He knows before you know when your kids are growing out of their clothes. Right? He knows when the shoes are wearing out. He knows before we know. And He knows it all. And He says, Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He understands. But Jesus says, don't let the concerns of the basic necessities of life consume you to the point where it takes you away from your relationship with the Lord, to the point where it distracts you and disrupts your life. Because ultimately, if it does, it'll hinder your walk with God, and it'll hinder your work for the Lord. And He says there's two foundational reasons. Number one, because God values your life. He values that relationship. Number two, because He knows what you need. He knows your every need. So then he comes down to this. He says, so. He says, listen. He says, that's what the world is consumed with. That's what the world is consumed with. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The unbelieving world, they pursue after these things. And why do they pursue after them in such a frenzy with uncontrolled anxiety? Because they don't understand and know that they can trust in a personal God who values that relationship. These are the things that Gentiles seek after. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He says, but for you, there should be a different way of living. He says, seek ye first. Seek ye first. He's not saying, forget about all those things. He's saying, get your priorities and your perspective squared away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, put your priorities in order. What are your priorities? Your priority is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is what He's pointing them toward. And He's pointing them toward the gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How many times did Jesus speak to someone that came to Him and they were more caught up with the things of this life? He said to that man that said, I've got so much and yet I'm going to build greater barns and put it all away. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then what shall these things be? But to you and me, He says, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, put your priorities. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek that relationship. Pursue after that relationship more than anything else. And He says, and all those other things shall be added unto you. He says, I'll take care of the rest. I remember 44 years this June, right, hon? Just check and see if you remember. Okay. You remember when it was? Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. All right? So almost 44 years ago, on June 21st, we got married. And we moved down here to Connecticut. We rented the bottom of a farmhouse over in Ledger on Lambtown Road. And we came down here with nothing. I mean, we had nothing. I mean, her aunt passed away at Vermont. You remember this? Her aunt passed away. Her aunt used to live in a little schoolhouse down the road from their house. And so somehow, word got to us that if we wanted, that we could come up with a pickup truck and we could get all the furniture out of the house that we wanted for $100. So we went, I tell you, days gone by, those were crazy days. So we took a Chevy pickup from work up to Vermont, and we loaded that thing. I mean, old Jed. What was that show? Beverly Hillbillies. I tell you what, if there was a reenactment of the Beverly Hillbillies coming down 91 in 1980 with a pickup truck, and that thing was, I mean, it was stacked up high. There was beds and bureaus and chairs and mirrors and dressers, and I mean, we fit everything we could on that truck, roped it down, and I mean, it must have been a hoot coming down that highway, looking like that, you know? But you know what? That was 44 years ago, and I'll tell you this. 44 years. God has taken care of us every step of the way. Every step of the way. And he's never let us down once. Never let us down once. Because you know what? He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. And he says, you just put your priorities right. Young people, listen. Young couples, listen. Get this tonight. Seek God first. Seek God first and let him take care of everything else. Don't let the cares of this life take you away from the Lord, please. It's Satan's trap. It's his snare. And he is crafty. He'll try and get you to doubt the promise of God. He'll try and get you to doubt the power of God to be able to provide. He'll try and get you to doubt the provision of God. And you know what it all comes back to? The testimony of the gospel. Because listen, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knew of your greatest need. And that was of a Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew your greatest need was to be saved from hell so that you could have eternal life. And he knew that need, and he provided for that need with his own Son by giving him on the cross of Calvary for you and me. My friend, if my God loved me so much that he wanted a relationship with me, and he knew that that would cost him his only Son, and he was willing and he did give his only Son to die for my sins so that I could have eternal life, how can I doubt that he won't take care of the basic necessities of my life? How can I doubt that he doesn't care about a roof over my head and a shirt on my back and food for my mouth? How can I doubt that he is not able to provide or wants to provide? Go back to the cross and think about Calvary. And let the reality of Calvary strengthen your faith, so that you trust God in every area of your life. Because, you know, this is a challenge. It's a challenge to every individual. It's a challenge to every pastor. It's a challenge to every ministry. It's a challenge to every church. I'd encourage you, if you struggle with trusting God for the basic necessities of life, I challenge you, I encourage you, get the biography of George Mueller. Get his biography. There's a man that trusted God for everything. For everything. And God never let him down. God never let him down. God won't let you down. God won't let me down. He won't let his children down. We are his children. We are his children. We're not just creatures. We're not just strangers. We're his children. And he says, I value that relationship. I know your needs. And I've promised to take care of you all the way till we get home to glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for word tonight. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for desiring to be our Heavenly Father and we your children. Thank you for knowing our needs and providing them, even as we think of the cross. And Lord, strengthen our faith. Help us to trust you completely. In Jesus' name, amen.